This is Will's Band of the Week for May 5th, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hey there, Will.
And David from the New York City Bureau.
Hello again.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah, in Madison. It's a nice sunny Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
About 65 degrees.
It wasn't that long ago that it was, some kind of ice storm or something when we were podcasting. Yeah. Let's not have that for a while.
So in about a day and a half, David, this weather will be your way. So enjoy. Look forward to
it. All right. Sounds good because it's kind of cloudy right now.
But. I'm trying to send this in your direction. Positive weather vibes. Yeah. So what do we got going on? Anybody got anything just completely random? I have a live report for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah. But you went to the game last night and they won.
Yeah. They started out very rocky. It was a bad first inning for the Brewers pitcher, and looked like things were going south, so to speak. But they got out of it with only one run, and then that was the only run they gave up the whole game.
Yeah.
And that's one of the fundamentals, right? Prevent the opposition from scoring runs.
Right.
And fortunately, they were successful in that.
Well, you must be saying that they scored some runs.
You only need to score one run, as I understand it.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Well, David was the general manager of the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, right? So he kind of
knows. But you know, that's only with AAA. You know,
I think that's that might be just A ball.
I think so.
Maybe that.
Yeah, actually, I'm. You're right. I'm exaggerating. It's just A.
You know, your performance there was a little shoddy, and I'm thinking now that if you didn't know what level you were on, maybe that was an indication of a lack of focus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I was just so stunned to be there that the details have gotten very foggy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was such a trip.
Right.
Well, and of course, he made the jump straight from A-ball to the majors.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's the equivalent of like hitting 425 or something.
Right.
I mean, it was just...
It's kind of a podcasting prodigy, you might say.
Yeah.
Just hit the ground running.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Hey, listen, I got offered a really good, you know, rookie contract, and I took it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those offers don't come along every day.
No, they don't.
You got to take the money and run.
Exactly.
What if we had paid him that huge bonus that we paid him, and then it didn't work out? He'd be laughing all the way to the bank.
I don't know. You know, if it doesn't work out, you take that bonus, you open a car dealership somewhere, and you're set for life.
Right. And we'd be just out of luck.
Yeah.
That was our entire bonus pool. We just put it all your way. So we were really counting on you. And thankfully it worked out.
He's still with the club so far. Yeah. Now, if he goes into a slump, we might have to send him back down.
Yeah. We probably talk about that without David on the line.
Yeah, we better do that afterwards.
Yeah.
So as I was watching the Brewers win a game, the Milwaukee Bucks also won a game.
Yeah.
And they showed some highlights at the end. I think I was telling you, Barrett, that the reception at the baseball stadium for the basketball team was kind of lukewarm. I mean, there was cheering, but it wasn't as enthusiastic as I thought it should be.
Yeah, that is strange.
But the baseball crowd is kind of laid back, I guess.
Right.
It's a little bit of a different group, I guess, but there should be a lot of overlap.
There should be. It just kind of illustrates how, I mean, in the Wisconsin sports, you know, pantheon, the Packers are head and shoulders above all of the other teams combined.
It's kind of true. Yeah.
Know?
Yep.
So if they had announced a Packers win in the playoffs during a Brewer game, then actually that could logically never happen, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People would go crazy.
So, I'll call this music news. The first Protomartyr album got a reissue. It's called No Passion, All Technique, and all Protomartyr albums are good. So, and this one's no exception. But I didn't even notice, because I had this album, I don't know, somehow I had it digitally, you know, two or three or four years ago. And then I realized it was gone. It was gone from the streaming service. And then I found out that they're going to be reissuing it. So they just did that. And I think you can get it on vinyl now. And they put it out on the streaming services with some bonus tracks. So let's play one.
Okay.
Early Protomartyr, King Boots.
What year is that from?
It's about, oh man, I want to say like 2013. I'll do a little research right now to answer that question for you.
The first album was originally released by Urinal Cake Records, just so you know.
Nice.
It may explain why it was taken off the services for a while, because they are now on, they were subsequently on two other labels. They're now on Domino. I think no longer on Urinal Cake, assuming Urinal Cake even
exists.
Still exists.
2012, that was the original release date. Yeah, it's been a good decade for Protomartyr, in my opinion. So yeah, pretty fun, cool.
The titles of their albums are pretty incredible.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, Undercover of Official Right, they have a split called Irony Prompts a Party Rat. And a live album, oh, this is great, a live album, Rosé, a fine wine to be enjoyed by couples or friends at any occasion.
Yeah, that's another band that if you delve into the lyrics, it's very fascinating. And if you listen to interviews of Joe Casey, I mean, it's just, it's very fun to listen to him talk about his lyrics and other things. All right, I think now it's time for this. David has been scouring the city on assignment for live performances, right?
Correct. I have three.
Three live reports.
Wow.
Yeah, I have zero this week.
I have one.
You have one even since the legendary one with your mom?
Yes.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. Who's going to go first?
Mine's very minor. I'll just get it out of the way. La 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 played at the Union last night.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that.
Right. So I went with JJ and Wilson brought a friend, and they came a little bit later. The opener, La 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 is from Chicago, and the opener was too. They were a band called The Slaps. which I hadn't heard of. And they were really, really good. I was expecting almost nothing. And, you know, just a guy playing guitar, kind of like a clean-toned guitar, kind of a multi-instrumentalist that played a keyboard on a couple songs and bass on the other one, and a drummer. So they were quite a surprise. And there was a nice crowd for them, too. La 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 La, you know, I wasn't real familiar with the music. I was listening to it throughout the day to kind of prepare myself for it, and I was getting really excited because I hadn't really heard much about it. But I don't know. You know how some bands, they're, you see them live, and you're like, wow, I wish they could create that again on the album, because it's just, it's not coming through. This was the opposite. They came across as flat and kind of lacking energy. So I don't know. Maybe it was, I don't know what it was, but you know, it's kind of blah.
Might have been that long, draining trip from Chicago to Madison.
That could have been.
You know?
Yeah, that can take upwards of 3 hours sometimes. So.
Right, having to pay all those tolls on the Illinois tollway.
Yeah, yeah, they might have forgotten their Easy Pass, and then they have to go through the manual lane, and
yeah,
that can add a lot of time too.
Remember all those days where you used to have to actually pull over and throw a bunch of coins into that bin? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to not have to do that anymore. I just let them swiftly take my money magnetically as I pass through.
Yeah. All right.
And then it auto-replenishes the card. So you just keep getting charged. I just
also
did that.
Yeah, public service announcement. If you don't have one of those Easy Passes, just go on through and then go online later and say, oops, I forgot, I missed it. How can I pay for this? And they'll set you up.
Or if you have the pass, if you have the pass and you don't have the magnetic thing, the transponder, whatever they call it, it'll just take your license plate and then it'll realize that you have an account and it'll charge you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty much foolproof. Your friendly Illinois tollway.
Yes.
Computers are magic when they're interested in taking all your money. They work really well.
Should I give the confessional aging rocker who does not go to see a show? Should I do one of those?
What did you not see?
Well, oh yeah, the concerts I skipped.
I took a trip up to Anurag territory and almost saw Anurag, but I went to pick up my son from Toronto. Their school ends; their semester ends at the end of April. Those Canadian people.
Wow.
So I drove up there, and the night that I was there, Black Belt Eagle Scout was playing. But a couple things happened. One thing that happened was I wasn't sure if I wanted to go because I had just seen her twice, you know. And then she was opening for Australian artist named Julia Jacklin. So I listened to the Julia Jacklin album when I was driving up there. And I was kind of uninspired. I liked the more rockin' songs, and then some of it just was a little too sleepy and uninspiring to me. But I was still kind of on edge because I was kind of like, well, I am here. Maybe I could go. Then I saw conflicting reports that it might be sold out. And then it was a little bit of an inconvenient couple miles from my hotel. So I just decided to play Aging Rocker and not pursue it further.
2 miles. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty far.
Right. I'd never do anything that's more than a mile away from my house.
See, I subjected myself to criticism there. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that I also noticed that Black Belt was playing a couple days before the other show that I went to. And I actually didn't have a choice to make because it was sold out at the Bowery Ballroom. But you're right. Opening, to see her opening for someone that doesn't seem to be that great is not what I want to see. I want to see, I want to see her, you know, to the top of the bill somewhere. So I think you get absolution for that one.
Okay.
I kind of like that Julia Jacklin album. So you get a partial absolution for me.
Partial.
Okay.
Yeah. It had been moved from the original club. It was going to be at the Horseshoe, which is this classic Toronto venue. Then they moved it to someplace that was like, well, a whole mile farther away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is a difference that I can't walk there then, I felt
a
like.
A mile. Is it? That's still in Canada, though, right? You're not like up into the...
The 1.6 kilometers or something.
Wow.
All right, let's get to the David's live reports.
Well, going backwards, my third live report was from the other night when my son got me a ticket and an invitation to a hip hop show. Absolutely the best hip hop show I've ever been to, because it's the only hip hop show I've ever been to. So
okay,
but if you're gonna go to a hip hop show, it seems to me you ought to start at or close to the top. So this was GZA of Wu-Tang Clan doing his album Liquid Swords, which is, I believe, 25 years old or 24 years old at this point. So this is one of those shows where, you know, artist comes back and does a classic album from, you know, A to Z. Or in this case, it would be G to Z. But whatever. So that was, you know, it was in a kind of a pretty cool venue, kind of a cross between the kind of club that we usually go to and a supper club, in the sense that there were tables. Well, there was more cool lighting effects in the room going on, you know, disco ball kind of thing, and other lights, and tables around the edge, so you could actually sit at a table. But most people were jammed in the middle. In fact, super jammed at capacity in a place that holds maybe 300, you know, 400 people. Mm. So, but it was a cool venue. It's called Sony Hall, formerly a nightclub, now called Sony Hall.
Owned by Sony?
In Midtown.
Is it owned by Sony?
I assume there's a Sony connection, yes.
A giant corporation? Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
So that was cool. Okay, prior to that, my first visit to Brooklyn Steel, which is one of those, it's like a 3,000 person venue deep in Brooklyn, former warehouse, so you can picture the kind of venue it is, one of those cavernous kind of places. Decor, industrial chic, a lot of brick. Not the kind of venue that you would really enjoy unless, like me, you managed to make your way to very close to the stage, and then you'd be fine. Anywhere else in the room, I would think you'd feel like you were in another county.
Well, the Will's Band of the Week specified location is usually toward the front, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just saying, there's even a balcony, and the balcony is so far back in the room that, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think I've maybe seen photos from that place, and it just looks like just an incredible mass of people.
It's like an airplane hangar, really. It's just yeah, not ever going to be anyone's favorite place, I don't think.
There's another one, this is an aside, but there's another venue in New York that I've seen photos from called Terminal 5. Have you ever been there?
Yeah. I have not been there, but my son has been there, and we refer to Brooklyn Steel as the Terminal 5 of Brooklyn. It's basically the same.
It looked like the same place, kind of thing.
Only, yeah. Only in a different location. So, but this was a Mountain Goats show, and I guess either my fifth or sixth time I've seen the Mountain Goats over the years. And they're touring with a new album, and you know the problem with a band that's touring with a new album is always, well, I haven't really listened to the album, or maybe I've just started listening to it, and I know I'm worried that, well, you know, they're probably going to do a lot of songs from the new album, maybe almost all the songs from the new album, and that's not really like my total cup of tea, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up, they managed to space things out to alternate enough so that you didn't get the impression that you were only hearing new stuff, because, well, for example, they did five songs, and then the band left the stage, and John Darnell just did three or four songs with acoustic guitar, and he does like some of the oldest material he's got, like things from 20 years ago. So it's varied, but I did do a count, and they ended up doing, I think, 8 songs from their new album, which, you know, unless you think it's the greatest thing they've ever done, is not going to be exactly what you want, I think, for most people. So that's, you know, that's the, but that's always the liability that you have when somebody is touring their new album, because, hey, they want to play it, right?
Yeah, some artists, you know, I think maybe artists who are even older, you know, have been around a really long time, they put out a new album and they'll usually only play like two or three songs from the new album because they know that people want to hear the old stuff. But it seems like Mountain Goats would be kind of in that middle ground where you could see them, you know, well, of course, when Wilco was touring and they had a new album, they played the whole thing. So, you know, a lot of older bands like to keep it fresh by playing the new stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, they could come out and do nothing but old songs and say, hey, you know, buy our new album. It's at the merch table. And there would be plenty of people who would be perfectly satisfied with that, I think, in this crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they, you know, they're very, they're proud of their new work and they want to show it off. That's good. But the great thing is that, once they finish their main set, finish it pretty early, and then they come back for an encore set and they do a full encore set. In fact, they actually wanted to do even more, but he said, you know, we're up against a curfew and, you know, we wanted to do two more songs and I think we're just going to do one and that was it. But, so the encore set was like six songs, which I think is really great.
Yeah.
So.
In these days of, you know, encores kind of going out of style, right? A lot of bands, I don't know, it seems like the majority of bands that we go see, they don't do encores like the old fashioned way where, you know, you leave the stage and everybody claps till you come back, you know, and, but then
I guess what I'm,
but that's a good way to do it. If that's going to work with your crowd, just, you know, do one encore set, just play a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say is that they paced everything really well. They didn't, you know, they didn't wear anybody out with their pacing. It was just a nice set of a few songs, the solo set, then the band comes back for a few more, quick pause, just a second pause, and then back for the encore set. And some of the most popular songs toward the end. The ones that people know all the words to and sing, you know, back at the band at the top of their lungs. So, you know, that's always a good ending.
Cool.
Speaking of encores, the folks at Warsaw, this is my earliest live report now. The folks at Warsaw pulled a really, I don't understand why they do this. Set ended, Camp Cope. Lights stay down. House lights stay down. Equipment is still on the stage. Everyone's clapping. We're waiting for the band to come back and do an encore. We wait, we wait, we wait. We figure they're just teasing us. We wait, we wait, we wait. And then after about 10 minutes, house lights come up. And that's it. No encore. Now, if you're doing no encore, I understand that. I know that's the new thing, right? But like, you know.
It's a weird way to end it.
This was cruel.
You got to put those lights on right away.
Yeah.
Extinguish all hope.
I mean, the whole crowd was waiting. Almost nobody left. And there's no encore.
I don't know
what happened there.
I told the story about like that same experience from the other end, from the beginning of the show, when I went to see Echo and the Bunnymen a few years ago. And we didn't know if there was an opener or not. It just said, I think they said something like, doors at 7 and show at 8. So we get there at, you know, 7:30 or whatever. And we're just standing there and we're like, it's 8:15, it's 8:30. And I'm like, what are they doing here? I don't even know if there's now I'm wondering if there's even going to be an opener. And I think they started at like 20 after 9 and there was no opener. So they just made everybody stand there for like an hour and a half. It's like, come on, you know?
Yeah.
It was terrible. But once they started playing, I loved it, you know? So I kind of forgave them, but it was still dumb, you know?
Yeah.
So Camp Cope.
Well, I have to say Thin Lips was one of the openers, and they were quite good. And, you know, Camp Cope, enthusiastic crowd, enthusiastic band, having a great time, it seems. They've been plagued by illness. Apparently, when they played Chicago, or maybe it was St. Louis, I can't remember, somewhere in the Midwest, they had a substitute bass player because the bass player was sick and couldn't make it. And now I see that they've canceled a couple of shows because Georgia is sick. So they picked up some bugs, I guess, in the U.S. Luckily, they were all present and healthy in New York. So we got a good show.
Great. I have not seen them, but they sure seem to tour a lot, right? You've seen them before, haven't you?
Oh yeah, this is my third time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they put on a great show. I would definitely recommend you seeing them in any venue where they pop up.
All right. That's a slew of live reports, right? Does that qualify as a slew?
Yeah.
How many it is a slew? At least three to be a slew, probably.
I think you'd need we had four
total.
Yeah, that's the minimum.
Yeah, two could never be a slew. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. All right. Oh, here's music news from us, right? Barrett got the vinyl of the Fontaines DC album.
I did. I've not listened to it yet, but I did slit open the cellophane, slide out the insert, and there was no mention of T.S. Eliot at all.
You were looking for that in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have all the lyrics printed out?
They do have the lyrics, which is nice. That's very nice. Yeah. You know, we've talked in the past about a good song to pick on a, you know, like a digital album is like number 7, right? Because it's the first song on side 2. Guess what the first song on side 2 of the Fontaines album is without looking.
Oh, but I have to look at my list.
Okay.
How could I not look?
No, okay.
Okay, wait, I'm not looking now. It's probably, would it be The Lots?
Yes. Nice.
I listened to a podcast where they were interviewed. It was the Rough Trade podcast. I saw a reference to it somewhere, and I just listened to it. And they said that that's their favorite song on the album.
Really?
The Lots. Yeah.
I like that one, but it's not among my favorites.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of which, I guess every week now we can do a Fontaines update, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So Chris pointed out that they were playing a late night TV show. Which one was it?
It was on Fallon.
Fallon. So I'm just going to say I disagree with their decision to play Boys in the Better Land. Right? That's not one of their better songs. That's what they played.
That's not what I would have gone with.
You got one song to play for your U.S. audience, and you know, I just wouldn't have picked that one. I think that one is just a little less inspiring than the rest of the album.
I don't agree. I like that song quite a bit. I think that was my pick, my first pick when we went through. I mean, it's not, you know, I think it's a bit of an older song, right? And they've changed a lot. You know, they're not, when they did that, they weren't really kind of like a post-punk thing like they are now.
Right. I guess that's just what I love the post-punky stuff right. they do. So that's just my particular take on it.
And, in their eyes, maybe the post-punk stuff has less of a broad appeal than this song, which is a little catchier than some of the other ones.
I mean, I understand that rationale. But if I did not know this band at all, and I saw that performance on TV, I'd be like, yeah, that was an okay band. I wouldn't be excited at all, just based on that song.
Yeah, I would have gone with Big, because it's kind of an introduction to the band, you know?
Yeah, that would have been a very good one. Yeah. All right, there's your Fontaines update, music news, live reports. Oh, and we have a couple bands to talk about, too. We have two bands that do not sound alike, right? Can we say that?
They do not.
That's for sure.
They don't sound alike at all. Which one should we talk about first? No pre-production? Anybody have an opinion on that? Maybe we should...
No.
Well, let's start them out a little slower and then build up to the intensity. So we'll talk about Soak first. So, Soak is the project of Bridie Mons Watson from Derry, Northern Ireland. And she's, what, is she even 20 years old yet?
She's 22 now.
Oh, okay. And the first album was what? I thought she was only like 17 when the first album came out, but that was...
Yeah, that was four years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, well, our years might be slightly off, but... Okay, good to know she's 22 now.
Yeah.
I really loved the first album. I think Barrett liked it, other than the way she pronounced blood as Bloyd. But other than that, you sort of liked it, at least, right?
I actually went back and listened to that podcast.
Did you?
Because when I listened to this the first time through, I was like, man, these things that I'm thinking about, this feel really familiar. And I went back and it's like, yep, I don't really have anything new to say. So I kind of delved into the lyrics a little bit, looking for something to kind of hook onto, and found it. And I just, something switched in my brain and I decided that I do now like it.
Good.
So a 180.
So it was, you know, a super dreamy, reverby thing. The first album, and this one definitely is more poppy. You know, and when I first heard it, I thought, man, I don't know, this might be a little too pop for me. But I think it, she maintains a lot of her songwriting style, and so I still like it a lot. Soak, the album is called Grim Town. It's a little grim, lyrically, a lot of it, right?
Yeah, sad.
Yeah. Well, I'll pick one. We'll go from there. Let's see. This is number 6. Fall Asleep Backseat.
And eyelash kayaks. The rapids are my cheek. Excessive. Times than once a week, I fall asleep in the
kind of sad, and when I read about it, then it seemed even sadder reading about the theme of the whole song. I don't know if you did.
I did not.
Basically, you know, she's in the back seat kind of pretending to be asleep because her parents are arguing and they're probably going to get a divorce, and then there's that line, double Christmas.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that,
you know,
is sad.
Yeah. 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 I like that one a lot. Soak.
All right. Who's up next?
I think you're going to be up next, Barrett.
All right. I'm going to pick, you know, I mentioned that as I started to dig into this and try to find something about it that I would like, this is really what it happened on, is this third song, Everybody Loves You. And what she does in this song is kind of singing about, singing it to a lover or a love interest. You know, everybody wants you, everybody loves you, but not me. And I'm tough as nails, and I'm made of concrete and stuff. And it's a real catchy song that kind of belies the sadness underneath. And then later, it kind of switches where it sounds like it's going to be like they're going into a middle eight or something. And it's like, oh, wait, no, this is just a whole different part of the song that stays that way. And then she's like, okay, yeah, I do too. And it's like so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, and you just get the feeling that it's not reciprocated, and she no longer, you know, cares and can fight that. So anyway, this is the song.
Everybody wants you, not me today, 'cause I'm done. Everybody loves you, not me, no way, I don't work that way. 'Cause I was built from concrete, 'cause I don't hurt no more, 'cause I've been getting no sleep, what's it all?
Great.
Yeah. It's interesting Barrett mentioned Mitski, because it really does remind me a lot. It's not the same musically, but there's something about,
yeah.
It's very intimate, but it's also very dramatic and you know, grand kind of.
Right, absolutely. And the one song, Mitski song in particular, is it called Your Best American Girl?
Yeah.
Right.
Where she's talking about to this ex-boyfriend, how, he wouldn't approve of the way her mother raised her. Right. And it's kind of being defiant about it. And in the end, just kind of flips and is, kind of has a change of heart and just is sick of fighting against how she really feels. And so it kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. Yeah, this. I don't know if you guys thought of this. I bet you didn't, because this might sound like it's coming out of left field. But the production on that song, as I was listening to it, actually reminded me a little bit of the Flaming Lips. It's like a dramatic Flaming Lips song, because there's all these keyboards and electronics kind of in the background that colors the whole thing in a really cool way.
Yeah.
So next time you listen to that song, think about that. Yeah. All right, David.
Wow, it's hard to make a pick on this one. I mean, there really are a lot of. It's, first of all, it's 15 songs.
Right, it's a little long.
And there really are a lot of good ones. So, yep. How about number 4? Knock Me Off My Feet.
Still my home. You stay within my bones.
Let's soak.
Yeah, that's a catchy one.
Yep. So she's got a whole bunch of tour dates coming up. So hopefully she's got a good live band put together. Seems like it'd be a pretty good one to see. Don't think they're venturing up to Madison. There's a Shuba's Chicago gig. It looks like that's the closest. I'm guessing she might go to New York, since a lot of people go to New York.
I will check.
She will be playing at my favorite venue that I've never been to in Glasgow, called King Tut's Wawa Hut.
Great name.
May 12th. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be there this summer. I'm going to go there, even if there isn't a band that I've heard of playing there, because you just got to go there.
Oh, you guessed correctly. Soak, June 21st, Music Hall of Williamsburg. What do you know?
There you go. Get them while they're hot.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, have we done justice to Soak?
I think so. I think we have three thumbs up on this one, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Definitely for me.
Definitely.
Yep. So, this next one's a little controversial, right? Don't we have a podcaster on record as actively disliking this band?
Yeah, he's been a little bit quiet about it, but I remember when we all saw them at that Damnably Records showcase at Valhalla on one of the first days. Maybe it was the first day. I can't remember. I was standing next to him, and we'd been kind of drinking all day, so I was like, the next day, like, did I really hear him say that? But he's kind of muttered to me, can you imagine liking this band? And I was like, I kind of do.
I can't imagine.
I have to tell you. And I think we were all pretty okay with him. I did not have a good vantage point. We were like, it's a small place, but we were not right up in front.
I wasn't at this show.
Oh, you weren't.
I was at that showcase earlier. There must have been some other conflict that I had.
Yeah.
But Barrett's referring to Craig, of course, who
Craig was talking down this band. Not like it. And so I went back and saw them again and made sure to kind of work my way up to the Will's Band of the Week, sort of a vantage point.
Yeah.
Which was very much, much closer. Mm-hmm. And I just really, really liked it. Just a lot of fun. You know, it's a four-piece Japanese punk band made up of women who are, I think they're all like about 30 years old. And I liked it. And they just had an album that came out about a week ago. So that's what we're going to talk about. I have not heard anybody say the name of this album. I'm just kind of looking at it. But
I don't think
my guess would be like Ida Koma Hits.
Yeah. We haven't said the name of the band yet either.
Okay. It's Otoboke Beaver.
That's right.
The longtime listeners probably piece that together based on the little stuff we were saying about Craig hating it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you guys think about this album. You might have a guess as to whether I like it, but I'm very, very curious to hear your thoughts.
It's got 14 songs and 26 and a half minutes. So that's pretty
fun,
right?
That's kind of nice.
Well, why don't we have Barrett make a pick, and then we'll take it from there.
All right. I am going to pick song number 3, S'il Vous Plaît.
ひたすらと接戦。あなたしたこらとさ、さほんまんは、シルブプレ。おはようさ、シルブプレ。ではさようなら、シルブプレ。しばいた。
Otoboke Beaver.
Yeah. So in that song, there, you know, there's stops and starts and a little tempo change there and kind of different textures throughout all the songs, which is not typically what you expect from the style of music, which, you know, I think just to call this, like, to call this band a punk band is, I don't know, it's a little limiting, you know? I mean, that's like, mm-hmm. she's playing a surf guitar there, which isn't also very typical. So I just think the song illustrates a lot of the variety on the album.
I don't know whether I'm, like, sometimes you don't know if you're properly interpreting the intent of the band, and maybe having seen them live, you got a little bit better idea of where they're coming from. But to me, a lot of this is actually really humorous. Like, it makes me laugh.
Absolutely.
Because of the, you know, the shouting, and then the song titles are just funny. And but sometimes I'm not sure whether they're just actually, like, in, like, I was reading an article about them saying that they were in a rage or something. Like,
I was going to mention that too.
It doesn't come across that
off,
way to me.
It's off the mark, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe the, first of all, you don't know exactly what they're saying. You can kind of guess based on the English names of some of the songs, but
yeah,
for the most part, you can't tell what they're saying. You can just sort of feel that it's shouty and angry sounding, but more than anything, well, it sounds
it's
like
shouty
having,
and angry sounding, but it's sometimes shouty and joyous sounding.
Right?
As well,
they're having. You can just tell they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it sure seems that way.
Yeah, and there certainly is an element of humor in this. They don't take themselves too seriously.
I don't think you can be that serious and have a song called "Binge Eating, Binge Drinking, Bulimia." Like, that can't be
right.
serious.
Right.
I feel like we would really enjoy it so much more if we could understand the lyrics, because based on the song titles, like 6 day working week is a pain, or I'm tired of your repeating story. I mean, these are great.
Yeah.
We would not only have to know Japanese, but we would have to be conversant with Kyoto slang as well to really get what they were singing
about.
Yeah,
probably.
Right.
Yeah. So those two that you mentioned were two of my favorites. So there's another one called Introduce Me to Your Family. I think I'll go with 6 day working week is a pain. That's an eventful couple of minutes, right?
It is.
It's
yeah.
Like, I love it. It's great.
Yeah, good. I always thought that was a new song. I thought that was switching into another song because I've never, you know.
Yeah, so, right. It's still part of the same song. Yeah.
Yeah. If one of you guys can identify what I'm thinking of, there's one common lyric, one word actually, a store in London that both Soak and Otoboke Beaver mention.
Oh, that's excellent.
What? Are you serious?
I don't know the answer.
Tesco.
So they both mention Tesco.
Yeah. Here they just yell out Tesco and then say, I want to go to London. And in that song, Crying Your Eyes Out, Soak talks about somebody buying Tesco flowers, which I would imagine is
cheap
and kind of lame, like not a very good effort. So there you go. Yeah. That's the common thread.
That's great.
Wow.
All right, David.
Barrett is digging deep into these bands.
Yeah.
It's bringing back some real ore.
So you got a pick, all David? Right.
Well, you know, I would pick pick the song you referred to, Introduce Me to Your Family. I think you played almost the entire 2 minutes and 9 seconds.
You got to be careful with these ones because they end so quickly.
There's some very short ones. Yeah, in fact, I think the last track, that's the 18-second track that I played on our South by Southwest preview episode. Because, I mean, how can you not like an 18-second track?
Right. Right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really get... why Craig would have such an aversion to them. I mean, they are kind of shouty and a little discordant sometimes, and but they're fun, right?
They're fun, yeah.
Cool band, I think.
They don't tour much. You know, they've all got full-time jobs and just kind of, you know, they came to Texas, obviously, in March, and then they just completed a tour of, you know, they played in London and Edinburgh.
Yeah, they had a quickie UK tour with Seisumi, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Drinking Boys and Girls Choir also.
Oh, really? Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it was like that damnably label.
Yep. Yeah. So I've been kind of curious, and I've, you know, looking on Twitter for reactions and stuff, and people have been just blown away by them as a live band. And they are, you know, it was just fantastic. It's just pure adrenaline and joy. So
Yeah, I don't know if it's something that I would ever spend a lot of time listening to on record, but you hear it and you think, yes, I would definitely go hear these guys live.
Right.
Definitely.
Very fun. Otoboke Beaver. Check them out. Indie rock stardom awaits, right?
Yep.
All right, we've got a bonus band. They've got a fun name, too. I like it. David, take it away.
American Football.
Yeah.
So the band is American Football, and the first album was called American Football. And you know what the second album was called?
I think it was called American Football LP2, right? Isn't this one called American Football LP3?
Oh, I was going to say this one was called American Football 2. Wait, you mean they actually changed the title?
No, maybe I got it wrong. I thought this was number 3.
I don't know. I know that the first two have not only have the identical name, they also have, in some ways, the identical album cover. There's a slight different tint to it, but it's the same photo.
Yeah.
I got to respect... You're right. It's called American Football parenthesis LP3 close parenthesis.
Right.
So they've... I was going to say, wait a minute. No, wait. Now, Spotify is telling me that the second album was called LP2, but I think that's Spotify trying to clarify something. I don't think that those that the band themselves actually changed the title.
Oh, I see. The services just added that on so it would distinguish them, so they wouldn't have the same title.
Yeah. That is if you buy the physical album, I don't think you will find that anywhere on there. And you got to respect, there's something about the purity of just doing an album with the same name 3 times. And it's the same as your band name.
Yeah, self-titled.
I don't know. I don't know what it's about, but it's just very, it's very classical. I don't know. Just the way it seems to me.
And the main guy, his name is Mike Kinsella, and I remember like hearing that name. So he's kind of a he's been around for a while. Like American Football started in the late 90s.
Right.
Right. The other interesting thing about this story is that the first album is what, 1992, I believe.
Wikipedia has the band existing from 1997 to 2000. So I don't know if that's right or not.
I'm sorry. You're right. It's late 90s, not early 90s. The first album was 1999. But then the hiatus was 17 years.
Yeah.
The second album came out in 2016. Now, he has other projects. He was not unbusy. He's got a few other bands. I believe he was in this band or maybe other bands or maybe both with his brother as well. He had a lot of other projects. But the band itself put out this one album, had a lot of success, and disbanded and then didn't come back for 17 years. And then when they came back, I think they got a lot of attention. And I think, you know, that second album was really pretty good. It wasn't, It wasn't coming back after 17 years to cash in, certainly, and it wasn't totally different in style either. This one, I think, is different. This is only what 3 years later, so not the huge hiatus this time.
So, should we play a track from LP3,
otherwise known as American Football by American Football?
Right.
I think so. Now, my pick would be track 3. You said that you had a favorite.
Yep.
But I don't know if it was track 3.
That was it. You called it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a really catchy one. Uncomfortably Numb.
Uncomfortably numb. comfortably numb.
American Football, Uncomfortably Numb, featuring Hayley Williams. I don't know. I'm not familiar with Hayley Williams. Are you guys?
She's in the band Paramore.
There you go. Man, yeah. Rock quiz for Barrett. You throw out the rock quiz and he's got it.
I don't have to admit that I was just
right there.
I was just looking that up right now. You know how sometimes when you're looking at stuff on Apple Music, I don't think I use that or Spotify, but they have a lot of description by the band going through each song.
Yeah, on this one they do.
They have that, and I've seen that other times, and then it'll just kind of disappear. And I don't know. I always find that really, really worth reading. So in this case, is it Matt Kinsella? Mike?
Mike, I think.
Mike says that they added a third verse so they could get her voice in there. And she just kind of happened to be hanging around when they were recording. So
yeah,
kind of fun little detail.
And it's kind of a sad lyric song, too. They published the lyrics for this album, and it's kind of like struggles of middle age, well articulately stated.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that was my pick. So, David, maybe you should pick another one.
I have to say the subject here is further struggles of middle age, because if you go back to the second LP, that one was really struggles of middle age. Hmm. Just look at the song titles and you'll see how grim it is. You know, I need a drink. I can't trust my instincts. I don't know. There's some really grim. Oh, give me the gun. That's about the grimmest
That's
lyric
grim.
you can come up with. You know, that one was really, delving deep into the depression. And this one, yeah, I think it continues the theme, but I think they're trying to, work their way out of it a little bit, or at least, you know, dress up the musical elements a bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, get some more voices in there, and I don't know, expand the musical palette a little bit. But I love his voice. I really think it's very evocative, and. Now I have to do a pick. Not sure what I should pick. Okay, track 1, 2, 3, 7.
It's called Mind to Miss.
Yeah. hands and arms and legs, intimate things finding their way into these twisted shapes. I need a babe, another mother, more than the strength of an absent lover.
American football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that Mike Kinsella may be the Robert Pollard of Illinois. Because he's got, in addition to the three American football albums, he has, it looks like, seven or eight albums with a project called Owen, and then a few albums with a band called Joan of Arc, and a few albums with a band called There, 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 and a few albums with a band called Captain Jazz, just sort of over the years, from 95 to today. Just a lot of projects.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the guitar sound in this album. The real super clean, but kind of a, you know, just the style that he's got is cool. Some of the songs, a lot of the songs are kind of long, and as I was listening to it, I guess I sort of felt like if I really wanted to get into it, I would have to make an effort to like sit down and concentrate and decide, you know, this is the album I'm going to give a whole bunch of time to, and I didn't, so. I really loved that track, Uncomfortably Numb, and the rest of it, I like it well enough, but I didn't really absorb myself into it.
Right. I think they do some, you know, I think they do some interesting things with time signatures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, very carefully constructed, and so if you care enough to kind of pay attention to that, I think you can get a little extra out of it just by, you know, if you enjoy that kind of thing.
Yep.
Figuring out when it goes into, like, you know, 5/4 time.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. Name the time signature.
Yeah. Did we do that once? Like, songs with odd time signatures?
I think we did. Yeah.
I know we did, like, 3/4 and 6/8 one time.
Yeah, we did do that.
Like the waltz.
Yeah.
Episode. Right. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, David, any other comments about American football or anything else?
I don't think so.
All right, greater than $0.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
So. Yeah.
Even individually, we each did that much, you know, and then you throw it together.
We've taken you from Northern Ireland to Kyoto to downstate Illinois. I mean, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
We try to cover.
What more can you expect of us?
We try to cover the entire world, you know, pretty much every week.
Right.
Yeah.
The only reason we haven't covered Australia this week is because last week we covered Australia, right?
Right. We did. We did do that. That was fun. Thanks to Nicholas, by the way. That was definitely a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, we have four or more is a slew, right? So we have a slew of possible bands to talk about. We've already mentioned four in pre-production. We probably won't talk about four. I think two or three is our usual number.
That's plenty.
So we'll see who makes the cut. And all those bands out there don't realize the significance of what's going on in pre-production, right? That they're being talked about and they're being considered, you know. Bands might not know if they came really close to being on the podcast.
I think dozens of them are assuming that we're talking about them, but
yeah,
you know, a lot of them are wrong.
You can't take it for granted. You just can't. Yeah,
not everything comes our way.
All right, let's sign off. It's as sad as that is. That time comes every week that we have to sign off, and then
yes, otherwise we'd just be doing this continuously.
Right, just a
live stream
radio station that we're on all the time. Mm-hmm. It'd probably be good. Okay, we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.